Welcome to worship, everyone. I hope you're all in good spirits, uplifted by the great weather we're having. We in Skegness have had a very busy week, both in the shop and in the cafe. Lots of new people visiting, as well as our regulars. It's been great. Margaret is still in hospital, but getting a bit frustrated with it, so we must continue to pray for her healing and peace of mind. I did visit her on Monday. Last weekend, I heard from Dave Chapman that his mum, Peggy, was in hospital after a fall and had damaged her hip. Peggy was one of our first members and is now in her 90s. I tried to see her on Monday when I was at Pilgrim, but she just had gone to the operating theatre when I reached the ward. Turns out she'd had an operation on Tuesday and is recovering well. We hold Peggy in our prayers. Wednesday was Kathy's birthday, and so we all shared some cake in the cafe as we wished her a happy birthday. This coming Tuesday, the 19th, is Eleanor and Tony's wedding anniversary, so greetings and best wishes to them both. Well, let us now prepare to worship the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, stand among us at the meeting of our lives. O Jesus, we love you. So we gather here. Join our hearts in unity and take away our fear. Amen. Let's sing Jesus, Stand Among Us. My brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we gather in your name. May we open our hearts to recognize you. May we open our souls to welcome you. May we open our minds to listen to you. Lord, may we open our hands to receive you. May we open our mouths to praise you. May we open ourselves that each of us might be honest with you. Lord, may we open our community to be totally blessed by you. May we open our lives to be changed by you. May we open our faith that we might be challenged by you. Amen. So the psalmist writes in Psalm 82, God presides in the great assembly. He he renders judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. The gods know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere mortals. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. So praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation, for he is our health and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near and praise him in glad adoration. Let's sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near. Praise him.
Psalm 82 may seem a bit strange at first. It seems to be about a conversation in heaven. It's unclear who the conversation is between, but it's clear that what the psalmist is trying to get across is that God speaks and acts justly even among others who don't. And perhaps the others who don't are human governments who are supposed to function as God's stewards on earth. The psalmist longs for the true God to rise and bring judgment. Well, judgment is always a good thing in the Psalms, a time when things are put right. Justice is done for the poor, the weak and the needy. And I know for many people at this time there is a real fear. So many issues surround us globally, in our own country, in our communities, and in our own lives. Many people are feeling very vulnerable with all that's going on around us, much of which we just have no control over. When Jesus walked on this earth, he felt what we feel. He saw human joy and pain. He saw human vulnerability and strength. As we gather today, let us be thankful that he knows how our emotions work. Let us also be thankful that by staying firm in our faith, God will never leave us. Let us pray. Loving and faithful God, thank you that when we are happy, you are with us. When we are sad, you are with us. When we are frustrated or angry, you are with us. When we are confused and when we don't know how we feel, you are with us. May we give ourselves and all of our emotions to you in our worship today. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. You opened our eyes. You let us see the beauty that made our hearts adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that you're our God. Amen. Let's sing Light of the World.
Step down into darkness, oh. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Lord, accept the praise that we bring, because you are altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. You are altogether lovely.
The theme of our worship meetings is spiritual treasure. When we are exploring the teaching of the Bible with regard to what we as followers of Jesus should count as treasure. And already this month we've seen how heaven is our true wealth and treasure. The Apostle Paul writes, "You have been raised to life with Christ, so set your hearts on things that are in heaven." Jesus warns us of the danger of becoming like those who store up treasures for themselves on earth, but are not rich towards God. He tells us to seek the kingdom of God above all else, and God will provide everything we need. You know, Christianity is not about prosperity, about earthly treasure. Our treasure is godly and spiritual. Christianity is about believing, with faith, that the future ultimately belongs to God. The question is, can we become part of that future, rather than just remaining people of the present? Well, I pray that we are part of that future. Today in our gospel reading, we will see how Jesus warns that following his way is like to bring conflict and division, even within a family. He also encourages people to see and understand what is really going on in the world, just as they understand that a dark cloud usually means rain. Jesus also reminded his disciples that he knew that one of the results of his coming to earth would be strife and dissension. Jesus said, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." There are some pretty powerful words in this week's reading about the impact of the choice to align yourself with Jesus. Jesus demands a total commitment to the kingdom of God. So we must be totally committed if we are to avoid our inheritance of heavenly treasure becoming for us lost treasure. So our theme for today is lost treasure. More of that later, but let's now come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you walk this earth as we do. You faced acceptance and rejection. You faced welcome and hostility. You set your eyes on the journey to Jerusalem. And we just can't imagine our life if you hadn't. God the Father, you gave us Jesus, an example, a teacher, a friend, a prophet, a priest and a king. And then a sacrifice for each of us. God the Holy Spirit, burning within, inspiring, enlarging, warming, urging us ever on. Lord God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, our emotions change with the day, with the mood and with the moment, but we adore you for your steadfastness, your faithfulness, your constancy. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way, sought us and saved us, pardoned and provided. Lord, of the years, we bring our thanks today. Amen. Let's sing, Lord, for the years.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Lord, we come together to worship you. Steady our minds from all conflicts and tensions caused by the rush and bustle of our journey here. Burn away all distractions so that we may focus on you. For Lord, the world is full of distractions, and life holds many weeds which can entangle our lives. Forgive us for allowing ourselves to get caught up in the stress of them. Help us to learn to say no to too many commitments that distract us from your will for our lives. Help us to speak out and to act even when others try to manipulate and control us in ways that go against your commands. Lord, there have been times when we've chosen the easier option, to say or do nothing, only later to regret missed opportunities to share our love of you with others. We're sorry for the compromises we have made. Lord, you came to give of yourself on the cross, taking upon yourself the sins of the world. Through your blood, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. Lord, fire up our faith and help us to run with renewed vigour the race that you've marked out for us. Lord, we thank you for the people of faith that have gone before us and the encouragement they are to us. We thank you for never giving up on us. Continue to refine us, Lord, so that we can be effective witnesses for you until the day comes when all is completed and we finally meet with you. Lord, we think of our world. We often feel so helpless in the face of such seemingly impossible problems, wars, unrest, and lack of love. We do not have the strength to solve any of these problems on our own, but you are a God of justice who can see the day when your kingdom comes and the world will live in peace. Until that day, we support one another to trust that you are in control. We therefore pray in faith for Ukraine and the Middle East and the many other places where there is anger and bitterness among people, resulting in violence. Lord, we cry out to you to bring the lasting peace that only you can bring. We pray for Christians in those countries, seeking to be peacemakers in their communities. Lord, we cry out to you to bring peace and courage to all who are being persecuted for following you. We pray for freedom to declare your word and your teaching, especially to those who have no faith in you and are lost. And Lord, we pray for our families, our friends and our community. And the stillness, we bring the names of those we know who are in need of healing and renewal. Lord, at this time there are just so many needs. But we know that you listen to our prayers and that you answer them in your own way and in your own time. And so we trust you for healing and renewal. So may love and faith and hope grow in us and in those we live among. And may all the credit go to you, Lord. For what a friend we have in you, Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to you in prayer. And Lord, what peace we often forfeit, what needless pain we bear, all because we don't carry everything to you in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for listening to our prayers. And thank you so much for answering them. Amen. Let's sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Thank you.
So once again, we pause to make our offering to the Lord. And I remind you again that your offering is for the Lord's work. And we're only paying back a fraction of what the Lord, and the Lord only provides for us. So as we remember the many blessings that we have, let us show our gratitude to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, not just today, but every day, as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. And Lord, we once again say thank you with all of our being for the risen Christ, who is the centre of our lives today and every day. Amen. So we're going to join now in celebrating the Lord's Supper, and before we do, we reaffirm our faith by saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. Let's say together, Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised, what have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us, that these gifts of bread and wine may become for us your body and blood, healing, forgiving, and making us whole, and that we may become for you, your body, loving and caring in the world, until your kingdom comes. Amen. The Lord Jesus, among friends, gathered round a table on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." And look, here is your Lord coming to you in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, and his blood, which was shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now share the bread and the wine. The body of Christ keep you in God's love for eternity. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. So let us now say together, Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. Take us, shake us, remake us. No longer is what we have been important. It is what, with you, we can be, starting now. Amen. So today our first scripture reading is from the letter to the Hebrews and continues the celebration of faith started last week, where we heard of those who were steadfast in the face of danger and opposition. In this passage, examples are taken from both Israel's history, found in the books of Judges and Samuel, and from stories familiar to the people of the time. Throughout chapter 11 of Hebrews, these great figures of faith are seen as waiting in the wings, not able to receive the full reward of their faithfulness until those who faithfully followed Jesus could be included with them. That these people didn't know or believe in Jesus is not important. They are examples of faithful obedience to God, an encouragement to us as Christians today to persevere in our own faith. The writer of the Hebrews is recalling heroes of the faith who didn't get their instructions from the corrupt powers of the world, but who put their trust in God, even if it cost them their lives. They did this because the God of all the earth will do what is right for all, including them. They lived in uncertain space where lives were set in place of truth and injustice rode roughshod over the poor. Of the greatest of those heroes is Jesus himself, who lived a life of humble service to God, enduring suffering to bring meaning to all the lives of those who are mentioned in the verses we're now going to hear. Following in the footsteps of the saints of old, and of course Jesus, we too should press on, laying aside all that distracts and ensnares us, focused on Jesus, egged on by all who have gone before us. Let's hear now from Hebrews.
The reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29 to chapter 12, verses 2. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Each of today's readings breathes a note of urgency, an urgent response to the gospel and keeping faithful under pressure. Maybe Luke emphasizes this because it was difficult to maintain a sense of urgency as time passed by. Remember that I said last week that the passage of time has led to just so much apathy, even among those who claim to be Christians. And it's just such apathy that Jesus predicted and constantly warns against, because Jesus' return will come at a time which is least expected, like a thief in the night. Sadly, many people, both at the time of Luke and today, find it easier to dilute the demands of the gospel and to sit back looking for a comfortable message. The passage from Hebrews also seems to be addressing the possibility of people looking for an easier choice. But there is a warning. The easy path is unlikely to be the right one. And the passage we're going to hear now from Luke's gospel has been described as the uncomfortable words, both in terms of its interpretation and its context. The message is uncompromising. Judgment brings destruction for those who reject Jesus, but redemption for those who acknowledge him. Let's hear now from Luke's gospel.
The reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 56. Jesus said, "I have come to bring fire on earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family, divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So Jesus said, "Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" You know, there are two Greek words for time: chronos, which is the time ticking by, and kairos, which means the now time. How often do we miss the now time because we're too caught up, too busy with time ticking by? What we miss by being preoccupied can often be important and ends up being lost. Jesus is fully aware of this when he issues this stern warning. "All you need to know," he says, "is happening right here in front of you. Surely you can see it. Surely you can interpret it. Because if you don't, you will lose your heavenly treasure." You know, that message is timeless. Unless we respond to the present times in the way in which Jesus has taught us, our heavenly treasure will be lost treasure. That's the message from today's scripture. Don't miss the now time because we're too caught up, too busy with time ticking by. I don't know about you, but I'm becoming increasingly aware that the world we have lived through is becoming drastically different. And all the signs are that the differences are putting this planet and its inhabitants in huge peril. And I confess I'm struggling to know what can be done about it. So much so that for the most part I'm choosing to ignore the problems. I don't want to, but I feel so helpless. Well, perhaps the lesson for me and for all of us in the church is not to ignore what is happening in the world, but to pray earnestly to God for him to intervene. And the crazy thing is, and the most difficult thing to get to grips with, is that God will intervene in his own way. Of course, that's why Jesus was so forceful when he said, "Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" Seize the moment. That should be our cry. And our task is to discern the sign of the times and act accordingly, lest we too come under God's judgment. You know, our Bible study passage for this week is Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14. Or two verses, actually, because they make sense together. And the Apostle Paul writes, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." You know, Paul is making it perfectly clear just what he is focused on. Focus. That single word holds the key for success in so many of life's endeavours. This was at the heart of Paul's own interest when he challenged us to set our minds on things above, the passage which we started this month's theme with. It's also at the heart of his message to the Philippians when he said, "But one thing I do." Focus is fundamental to spiritual success as well as success in our secular lives. Keeping the main thing in the midst of a multitude of other things is always a challenge for followers of Jesus. And one of the key elements to spiritual growth is the ability to obtain and then maintain focus in the Christian life. Focus will lead us to do four things. Focus will put our priorities in order. Focus will give us a forward mindset. Focus will set us on the next stage. And focus enables us to know where we're going. Keep your life in focus by keeping Christ in the centre of it. Jesus said to the people, "How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" One of the big problems that faces our future is the effect lifestyle choices are having on our young people, on the next generation. We are just and only just beginning to wake up to the harmful effect of information overload on young, immature minds. Minds that soak up the wealth of knowledge, but are not mature enough to know how to deal with it. And of course, the biggest cause of this is the internet. Left to surf the web without supervision, many young people are being brainwashed. This is particularly disturbing regarding the issue of gender identity, as it's referred to by today's woke society. It's not just information overload that is damaging young people. The same is true of emotions. We expose our young people to just so much adult emotion that they're in danger of never being able to handle it. The gift of youth is in itself something to treasure. But today, for so many young people, this gift is lost as they are made to grow up before their time. The gift of youth simply becomes lost treasure. Are we truly reading the signs of our times? Can we stop the loss of such treasure? Are we truly reading the signs of our times that deprive our young people and indeed have deprived a whole generation of a knowledge of and an understanding of our Creator? Have we, through being caught up in the ticking away of time, failed to seize the now time for a generation who may never know the love of God in their lives? Exposing young people to too much information, too much emotion, and denying them the opportunity to know God is indeed child abuse, just as much as actually knocking them about or shouting them down. Depriving them of the treasure of youth prematurely means lost treasure that can never be replaced. But adults too are at risk from modern lifestyles. Our recent history is full of people who've spotted the signs of the times and acted accordingly. But for many, For many of them, the cost was their life, because the challenge of their vision was too great. The challenge of their vision resulted in conflict because it demanded a response. And Paul goes into great detail about this in his day in the passage we heard from Hebrews. And Jesus said, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division." Well, in those strange and unsettling words at the start of the passage we heard from Luke's Gospel, Jesus revealed that his coming often results in conflict. Why? Why? Because Jesus demands a response from us. And as a consequence, even families may be split apart when some choose to follow Jesus and others refuse to do so. Jesus allows no middle ground. He demands loyalty and commitment, sometimes to the point of severing other relationships. How many people put their heavenly treasure at risk in order not to risk their family's disapproval? Clinging to relationships which divert you from your faith is no different from clinging to worldly possessions. Jesus demands that we prepare for the kingdom of God by putting aside our fears and our preoccupations with worldly possessions and issues, and instead focus our lives on Jesus and his coming kingdom. Is this the kind of faith movement we consider ourselves to be part of? Or are we still trying to live by compromise, ignoring the signs, failing to interpret them in the context of the gospel? Well, I can't speak for individuals, but I have to say that the present failure of the Christian church is largely as a result of compromise, of watering down the gospel, of becoming complacent to the signs of the times. That stern, uncompromising message from Jesus was addressed to his disciples, not an unbelieving crowd or suspicious authorities. Jesus doesn't promise peace and security. Far from it. He points to trouble ahead. Jesus disturbs our complacency, making us uncomfortable. In a world that wants and offers easy answers, quick fixes, simple solutions, information overload, pick and mix options in matters of morals, there is an urgent challenge that as Christians we must face up to. It's no good saying, "Well, won't God fix it? Surely God will make everything all right in the end." Well, perhaps he won't. Perhaps the promised treasure will end up as lost treasure for the majority of people. People who don't interpret this present time, but are content to allow time to tick by and evil to creep into their lives. You know, the signs of the times are all around us on TV, cinema and computer screens, the internet and mobile phones. So where is the truth in what we see and hear today? Sometimes the church is not a comfortable place. Hard questions are asked and challenges are made. But this is no less than Jesus himself demanded. If his promised heavenly treasure is not to become lost treasure. What is called for here is for Christians to take risks, and for those who are just cannot bring themselves to do so, to actively support those who do, rather than complain and grumble that their traditions are being sidelined. Jesus had one word for such people: hypocrites. There's a great sense of frustration in what Jesus is saying, and I'm sure that frustration is still there. It's a frustration born out of love. "You will lose your heavenly treasure," he says, "but I don't want you to do that. I want to restore society. I want to open the eyes that are blind, restore hope, bring freedom. I want you all to inherit your heavenly treasure. So get your act together." It won't be easy. It never is. There is an inevitable cost. There always is. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the potential to turn the world upside down, to comfort the disturbed, but also to disturb the comfortable. There's a huge tension between Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and Jesus, who brings the sword and fire of judgment. As the Christian church lives out its true vision, it's itself becoming a place of conflict. In my many years of ministry, I've seen so much conflict in churches, from the petty arguments about which service books to use, who's allowed in the kitchen, what hymns or style of music should be used, to somewhat more serious issues about welcoming new people and new ideas for worship, or which denomination is the true Christian church, to the even more serious issues regarding the rewriting of scripture to appease the so-called modern take on human sexuality and same-sex marriage. The bottom line is that the church is called to deal with the frustrations of leaders, groups and individuals within congregations. It's called to take risks and to journey into unsafe and uncharted territory, all for the sake of the gospel. There is only one true God. There is only one maker of heaven and earth. There is only one set of instructions that would enable us to live our lives the way God intended. And it's hard, and it's getting harder. But remember, the rewards are simply out of this world. My dear friends, the church needs us to follow in the footsteps of all the great men and women of faith who have gone before. It needs us to interpret this present time in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It needs us to face the challenges this brings. It needs us to stand up for what we were taught and what we believe. It needs us to take risks and to journey into unsafe and uncharted territory as we follow Jesus, as we continue Jesus' work. It needs us, so that all that Jesus went through for our sakes and all that God has promised doesn't end up as lost treasure. Amen. So let us all sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for us, how he left the realms of glory for the cross on Calvary. He will keep us till the river rolls its waters at our feet. Then at last he'll bring us over, saved by grace and made complete, and our heavenly treasure will not be lost. Let's sing, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story.
Thank you.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So now let us go in love and peace to serve the Lord and his people with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.